Don't forget Michael Felgate on Racing Pulse from 8:30. Another big edition coming up, and Gareth Hall doing awesome things on RSN Central later on through the morning. But Rocket Eade, speaking of doing awesome things, he did that for over 600 games as a player and the coach in the AFL system. Now he does it with us on a Tuesday morning on The Breakfast Club, and he's back again. Rocket, good morning.
Morning, Daniel Whitey. How are you going, boys?
We are well. We are well. We're 4 weeks in. Rocket, have you got a feel for what's happening in footy at the moment?
I've got a feel that it's going to be unpredictable. I don't. You know, people are saying, "Oh, the top eight's nearly set." Oh, I'm not. I don't canvass that. I reckon teams that have won four in a row will at some stage hit a wall, fall over. Others that will get on a streak. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be an exciting season, to be honest.
There's a bit to talk about with you today from a coaching perspective, because we've got different ends of the spectrum we can tap into. The biggest one is clearly what's happening at Collingwood and the pressure that now is firmly on Nathan Buckley for many and varied reasons. What do you do if you're Bucks, you've been at the footy club, you've been in that position as a senior coach, and I imagine under a fair bit of pressure through your time, Rocket, as well as a senior coach. What do you do if you're Bucks at the moment?
I think with Nathan, he does cope with pressure pretty well. So, but by the same token, it does infiltrate your psyche. But his main focus is going to be A, the team, and B, the players, and how we get them to turn around. I just take it back to probably the end of 17, where probably there was a heap of pressure and where he kept his job. And they changed things up. They changed their style. They had a bit more freedom, I suppose, play a bit more abandoned. At the moment, they seem to be playing the same old bloke, players in the same position, don't do anything different. The game has changed, the game has moved, and moves on anyway.
Yep.
I think they'll make some changes at selection table, and I think it's been proven with a lot of kids, even the Giants at the weekend, which was forced, but how much enthusiasm that gave the team. And I think just got to give it a different look. Players in different positions, move them around, move the magnets a bit, probably open them up. I think their biggest issue, is that the right phrase, which has been their strength, is their midfield now, with Treloar gone, Adams injured, Penderbury still playing well, but he's a bit older, side bottom a bit older. They haven't got that advantage over the other teams. I suppose with Grundy not playing as well, they're not that dominant in the midfield with a forward on that doesn't kick goals. So that's going to be an issue. But now you can spark something. So it just needs to be creative, I think.
So from a selection perspective, you're talking about that before, about changing the mix a bit and getting a different look, different dynamic. And after four rounds and you won in three, and they could very easily have been 2-2, and it could have been a different conversation. After four rounds, are you starting to think about what your year can look like and whether or not it's feasible, viable, the right thing to do to keep trying to hang on to this season? Or do you start to look about what the next 2 or 3 years look like, in particular for someone like Bucks, who's out of contract at this year?
Oh, I don't think their season's dead. As I said in the intro, I think teams will have three or four weeks, even the Melbourne and Sydney of that at some stage, will fall over. And I've got no doubt the teams will get on a roll. So I think you're always going to be in it unless you're mathematically completely out. Like they're 1-6, 1-7, okay, your season's finished. But
yeah,
it's a tough one this week going to Perth, but they've proven historically that they can win that. And then they've got three games that they can win. So I certainly wouldn't be giving up hope, but they can spark. They need a spark of enthusiasm. It doesn't seem to be some enthusiasm there, and you can spark players by giving them different roles, different focus points, different thoughts on the game, take the shackles off a little bit. So I don't think their season's dead. But by the same token, I think he needs to get some youngsters in there. And it's been proven, as I said, with other teams, they've got some youngsters in, and it sparked their team. So maybe that's the way they'll go this week.
So is it as simple as that, of just changing it up a little bit personnel-wise, or are there any things positionally that you would do or methodology you would do with Collingwood to give them that sort of, it's not an artificial spark, it's the trigger for the spark?
Yeah, I think the same as two is about their style a bit. I think you can spark it. You've got to, by sparking enthusiasm, you're really changing the psyche. You change the mentality of players. So, A, a different role. be the team play a different way, or we'll tweak some things at certain stages, what we do, how we back the players to, like, they're making mistakes anyway, back them to not be, I'm not saying they are constrained, but no, we'll kick in this certain spot, and this is what we're going to do when we get the ball in this position of the ground. But okay, let's the players express themselves a little bit more, which is probably foreign to Nathan a little bit. But I think they did that in 18 after 17. They really did. I mean, they defend really well. I mean, the Giants got 90 at the weekend, which is unheard of against Collingwood, and it's a bit wet. But generally, they defend really well. So you've got that as your basis. Let's try and attack a bit more. Let's take the game. If we turn it over, well, we turn it over. We can defend the turnover pretty well. We don't kick goals. And probably, I know he's short, I know we talk about him a lot to Goey, but he wins his one-on-ones a lot. Let's make him the focus point, not Cox the focus point. Let's change the structure a little bit. And back to that original point, get some kids in. And some of them may not be ready. You can't play, I don't think you can play five and six like the Giants had to do at the weekend through injuries. Now, there's a tipping point of playing two and three and then rotate those two and three with some kids coming through as well. But I think you can spark the team. And they've got, it's a terrible phrase because you have got something to lose, but they've got nothing to lose. I mean, the pressure's on them. They do respond well to pressure. They do play well away. They do bond well. So I'd certainly give them a chance this week.
I think that's the thing, is that they've got that recent experience of beating West Coast in the final last year, where they did go in with almost a nothing to lose attitude. They were a lot more proactive. They did take the game on. They did move the ball quickly against West Coast. If they're going with a similar philosophy, they'd have to think they're a good chance of winning.
Yeah, for sure. I think if you go in, not saying they do, but some teams I've seen in the past trying to minimise a loss or stay within reach, and with the new rules now, you're not going to score.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to take the game on in a controlled way sometimes, but at the same time, back to players. Now, you've coached a lot. You've coached system. They know what to do, as in certain situations and stoppages and structures and all that sort of thing. But the game throws up so many different scenarios. Let the players decide that. Let them take it on. It's going to be mistakes. Let's not pull them up. And I think they can get themselves back. They haven't got the talent they've had in the previous years, so I think they're fighting for a spot in the eight at this stage. I don't think there's any higher honours for them, but by the same token, I think they can get their season back on track.
Well, that's the Magpies. What about a bit further down the chain? Talk about experience coaching. Bucks has been doing it for 10 years or so. David Noble's been doing it for four games at this level in the AFL with his job at the Kangaroos. And they are building the bones of hopefully a successful future team there at the Kangaroos. But they are copping some hidings along the way and having some moments that I'm sure they'd prefer to forget, Rocket. How do you handle the messaging if you're David Noble, not only to your supporters and your public, but to your players as well?
Yeah, it's more about little wins and that word improvement. I saw some real improvement in them on the weekend. They are in front, or virtually in front, at three-quarter time. They were behind by four or five goals. They fought their way back. So that's a win. That's a positive with some performance of some young players. That's a win, some real individual growth. But with a young squad, you're going to have what's happened. I know Adelaide are young as well, so you've got the counter argument there. But they're just having patches, and sometimes that can be two quarters in a row. Sometimes it's one quarter. That last quarter obviously was poor, but I would have thought, and something that you don't put in, you don't check against the win loss, but little wins along the way. It might be an individual playing a different role and tagging. Might be, to teach them something. I saw Kane Turner at the weekend in a run with role, which he hasn't done before. So David Noble's exploring new ground, new roles for players, putting them in different situations, which I think is really good for them for the future. So if I was a North supporter, I'd be looking at the positives. And the Western Bulldogs game was a complete disaster, but you learn from that and you put that in where it belongs. You forget about it. Their performance of the weekend was really positive, I thought.
That's good news for Kangaroos fans.
Yeah, absolutely. Melbourne and Sydney, 4 weeks in now. We're trying to work out at what point do we go, yep, this is real, as opposed to, nah, it's still too early, bit of a tease, all this sort of thing. Have you reached a decision on those two sides yet as to whether they're genuine?
you probably look about who they've played. The Sydney have played Brisbane and
Richmond.
So they've beaten teams that are in the top four. Melbourne probably haven't played those top echelon teams yet. Having said that, the way Melbourne are playing, I probably think you've got a bit more positivity about them. I thought Sydney on the other night, Essendon did the homework really well, and Sydney didn't change their style. I think just through talent they win in the own, but they want to short pass all the time. So they've got to modify their game. Otherwise, at some stage, they'll hit a wall. Teams will know, work them out, which they're just about doing. So they've got to change a little bit that way. Sydney, to me, have got a lot of youngsters. I think at some stage they'll hit a wall. I'm not convinced that they'll make the make top four. I don't think they will. I think they'll be fighting for the bottom end of the eight. Melbourne, to me, look as if they've fixed some problems. To do what they've done without key forwards, their two key forwards are out. May's got injured and they did really well the last half. So, but their next couple of weeks is probably not a big test, but once they start getting the big name teams, that'll be the test for me.
Yeah, so they got Richmond on Anzac Day Eve, I think it
Melbourne.
Is. Yeah. So I think that's going to be their big test. They've got Hawthorn this week, but the next one might be the one that we're interested in.
1-300-652-927. What advice have you got for the coaches we're discussing this morning, or some other ones floating around? Rocket certainly knows a fair bit about advice for coaches. Probably copped plenty of it through your time, Rocket.
Yeah, very much. From everyone, from parents as well as media and players. I think the thing with Melbourne, sorry on that, is at some stage when they, because the draw's been favourable for them, once they get some heavy hitting teams in a row, and if they do have some blips on the radar, as long as they don't fall in for the white noise, Melbourne are on the same old Melbourne, which I don't think they'll be like that, but they can't afford to fall into that mental anguish that the media and supporters are going to heap on them. So I think they've got the capability of being heading towards top four, but they've just got to stay the course.
I mean, the way Melbourne are going, I mean, we can't discount the fact they beat Geelong on the weekend. It might be out of form, but they were grand finalists last year. They will get to six rounds with a probable win-loss of either 5-1 or 6-0. I can't see how Hawthorn can beat them. Having played both the grand final teams from last year and also St Kilda, who finished in the top six. So the draw hasn't been easy for Melbourne. I think it's legitimate, the Demons.
Well, the form ladder has been updated.
Oh!
The form ladder has been updated for the D's. So the D's are sitting mid-table at the moment with 11th hardest ranked, equal 11th hardest ranked draw, but they sit second on the ladder. So it's a yet-to-be-seen situation. The Bulldogs and Port, interestingly, have had the easiest draws according to the form ladder. Bulldogs easiest, Port second easiest. They're sitting first and fourth. So it's correlating with their performance. So there's a bit of a watch on those two. And going back to the Kangaroos conversation, Rocket, they've had the hardest draw, along with the Brisbane Lions, according to the form ladder, they've had the hardest draw. So while if there's improvement against the hardest draw, then that is even more reason for optimism for the Kangaroos.
Oh, for sure. And they've had a few of the senior players out. Tarrant and Cunnington's just come back in. So having some experience back in will help the kids as well. So I've got no doubt there's a bit of positivity in the rooms at North Melbourne around the club. I think there were some really good signs of the weekend. So they're going to have some bad games. When you get youth, sometimes it's just all going to compound together where it just doesn't work like it happened against the Bulldogs. But generally, overall, I think if the graph's going up, they can have a positive season.
Melbourne do intrigue me, and we just head back to Ed Langdon before the news. And one of the conversations in the last couple of weeks is, where does Ben Brown fit into this? And what impact does he have on this forward line, which looks pretty dynamic at the moment, Rocket, when you see them in full swing? Ben Brown's a very set play sort of player. He's a lead-up marking player for his best footy, I suppose, from what we've seen. Is it going to work for the D's getting him into there, or does it help them or hinder them, or what do you reckon?
Well, I think the new rules are going to suit his style of play. Mm. Now, the lead-up forward is back in vogue. It's very hard to get numbers back in front of the forwards to block the space because they move the ball so quickly. So I think the way their forward line has operated, which has been fantastic, Simon Goodwin's now got to get Brown back in as a cherry on the top, as in the lead-up, but not being the one only and number one focus, and yep. you kick it to him all the time. Because he's got a big tank as well. He can get up the ground, which is, I think, some positive. Now at North, he would get up the ground, but then there'd be no one else to kick it to if he was getting the ball on the wing. Where now we know that they can kick some goals. And if he can average 3 goals a game and be involved in four or five, I think it's a real positive. I think he can add to their forward line. Okay. Under the old system, the old rule, maybe not. But now the leading forward has got more space to run into. He's generally a good kick. So I think he can add to their forward line, which I think is great for them.
Ed Langdon had some pretty strong comments when we spoke to him before 8 o'clock, saying, we're just talking about the positive influence that Mark Williams has had at Melbourne. Is he a realistic chance to get another chance, do you think, Rocket, as a senior coach, or is he in the perfect role he's in at the moment?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know the answer, to be honest. I think Choco's got a lot to offer footy, and I think he's got a lot of experience. And whether guys at that age, which includes a lot of people, including myself, whether I think used by date's probably gone. But by the same token, he's got a lot of enthusiasm. He knows a lot about the game, and certainly you can't buy experience. And whether you've got young coaches around, which is great, but having that experience of what Choco's got, A, to help the young players, but B, to help the coaches around him. So I think it's a very smart move by Melbourne.
Bigger picture stuff, Rocket. We were talking earlier this morning about a story on the back page of the paper about the bye in the finals. A push, it seems, from coaches to have the bye move from at the start of the finals to the week before the AFL Grand Final, which essentially questions whether or not the finals are the important part or is the grand final the most important part that we need to get right. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it's an interesting point, isn't it? So it's a bit like the NFL model, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then the break off before the Super Bowl. It probably makes more sense than the first week of the finals, doesn't it? Because then you've got your best players for the marquee event for the year and gives them more of a chance, and any bumps and bruises and whatever, and probably might save the blowouts that have happened in some years. I haven't thought it through too greatly, but I think it's probably got more merit than the first week of the finals and build up. And if they make it like an NFL Super Bowl, and obviously the media would have coverage and around each team, each player and everything like that, make it a real event. I'm certainly not against it. I think it's got more merit, as I said, than the first week of the finals.
Interesting times. We'll see what happens with that, Rocket. Always great to get inside your brain on a Tuesday morning. We look forward to doing it again next week. You got the mighty Bournemouth Tigers in action this week for round one of the Eastern Footy League?
Yes, we have, Daniel. We're starting a week behind everyone else, but anyway, that's fine. So it's been a long summer, a long preparation.
Yeah, a two-year preparation. Have we got the engraver on standby just in case, Rocket?
No, it's a long way to go, mate. We've got a few injuries, at the moment, so we put that on check, mate. Put that on check.
Right, well, I'm going to keep him on file, that number. Put him on speed dial, the engraver for you, with the mighty Bournemouth Tigers. Good luck, buddy. We'll chat next week.
See you, guys.